Thank you very much. Very good to be with you.
Okay, so you're with us tomorrow night in Dublin. You're in the O2 with your Force Majeure. It is the biggest stand-up tour ever. Is that true?
Well, it's the most extensive stand-up tour ever. So I'm playing over 25 countries. I've already played Istanbul, Vienna, Berlin, Estonia, Latvia, Serbia, Belgrade, Bucharest. And I will be ending up in Kathmandu this year and all 50 states of America next year. And so it's just, I just don't, and I'm doing touring France in French as well. So I think it's pushing the boat out. When people are retrenching and pulling back the boat, I'm pushing the boat out.
It's, well, and that's what you do. That's kind of a part of your personality, obviously. You're constantly challenging yourself. So are you doing the gig fully, absolutely in French?
Yeah, tout le spectacle en français. I learned French at school, which, you know, gets you to a certain level, but really, 6 months of living in the country is equivalent to, I don't know, 10 years of learning at school. I went in 2011, did 3 months in Paris, 6 gigs a night, and it was great. So I was learning French and hanging out in Montmartre and getting the word of mouth to go around. So it's now taken off, and I'm now touring France, and I don't think any English speaker has done that before. So,
well, congratulations then. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you very much.
You've been learning other languages as well.
German for next year. I did 2 years of German at school, so I'm pushing. I just played Berlin in English, and they were really up for it. And in a venue where Hitler used to have a box and used to watch German operetta, so we roundly insulted Hitler, and so did my Michael Mittermeier, the German stand-up, who's now playing in Britain, and he was there too. So we had a great gig, and Berlin was very up for it. So I think English, and Dylan Moran's going to play there very soon. So they're very up for English speakers to go play there.
And what about now the fact you're going to be with us tomorrow night, and you know the fact that you are, you know, you're a natural linguist, and you're you know, embracing yourself with all these different languages. Will you give Irish a go, or do you know any words?
Well, I think I'm not really up on it, because in Dublin I didn't see a huge amount of Irish being spoken, you know? Am I wrong there?
Right, I'm a native speaker, so it was actually my first language. But yes, there are people in the country who speak it naturally and speak it on a daily basis, and there are a lot of people who don't, unfortunately, and for various different reasons. I'm sure you know yourself, you lived in Northern Ireland, you're probably, I mean, I know you were a kid, but I'm sure you're pretty much aware of the various reasons behind it. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be spoken by everybody in Dublin, but there will be people going to a gig tomorrow night who will be Irish speakers, and you know,
I might throw in a few words. I've heard, who was just telling me, there's an Irish person who was telling me that there's no words for yes, or there's 3 words for no, or
yeah,
something.
It's quite a complex language. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which makes it really difficult to do stand up in it. And I tell you this, I'm very practical. I mean, I've been playing through Scandinavia, and I haven't learned hardly any Scandinavian words,
right?
Because if I'm going to learn German and then Spanish and then Russian and then Arabic, and there's a political, you know, underpinning of this, which is I'm trying to reach out to French, which the English have been very scratchy, or the British have been scratchy with for years, and the Germans, who we had World War II with, and the Russians, because all the hell they've been through, and the Arabic people, because that's all been scratchy, and I was born in an Arabic country. But between Ireland and Britain, I would say, you go back 50 years and you come right up to now, or 60 years, we've come a hell of a way. So, I'm going to say that we're already in a good place.
We are very much in a good place. Yeah, we'll give you that.
It is in a good, and you know, both, you know, thinking people on both sides have struggled hard, and people from before have struggled very hard. And if they thought back in 1916, they did the revolution, that, you know, Graham Norton would be one of the highest paid players.
Correct.
He's a gay Protestant Irish citizen. I mean, that's crazy, but kind of beautiful, I think.
It is beautiful, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very well
said. There you go.
That's
my thinking behind it.
It is, that works. The fact that you're learning Arabic as well, you were born in the Yemen.
I was born in Yemen, born in Aden in Yemen,
and
which we know as Aden.
Yeah, and I would imagine Arabic is a very complicated language to learn. Like, are you not overloading yourself and overloading your... I mean, you obviously clearly have a pretty big brain to be able to take all of this on, but like, is there not a lot going on? Are you getting confused and crossing languages?
I'm not picking up Arabic right this moment. I can say Ismi Eddie Walitufi Aden Fiel Yemen, which is my name is Eddie. I was born in Aden in Yemen. And I can say Shokran, which is a very nice thing to say, which is Arabic people in shorts, which is just thank you.
Okay.
And so I've got a few words, but I'm really concentrating on German next, and then I'll concentrate on Spanish. I'll do them one at a time. Otherwise, as my brother says, who is a linguist, he says, you just won't be able to do it. So, yeah, I'm trying to be careful. But we have one life, and we should live this life to the full extent. And, you know, I'm not a religious person, so maybe there are second and third lives. But no one yet has actually definitively got back from an afterlife and said, hey, guys, there is another one. You can do what you want in this one. So I'm thinking that this could be the one.
Yeah.
And so let's go for it and try and do something positive.
Great. Well, I mean, you've done many, many things. And obviously, you know, I want to talk about a few years ago and what you achieved for Sport Relief, because I was completely and utterly, and I still am, in awe of what you did. Like, I've only run a half marathon and I was absolutely exhausted at the end of it. You running 43 marathons in 51 days. I just remember following it at the time and being completely and utterly mesmerised. And especially with the fact that I only heard actually afterwards that you had only decided to do it and you hadn't run before, and it was only, you'd only done it like about 6 weeks of training beforehand. And I was thinking, how does someone do that?
There was a logic. I've heard that people train 9 months for a marathon, right?
Yes.
So if you're going to run 43, that's 9 months times 43, which I think is 35 years worth of training. So I thought I could either do that or do 6 weeks and just go for it. And these were my options. The 35-year one wasn't an option because I would have been then something like 79 when I started. So I went for it. But the truth is, it's kind of like in massive situations, struggle situations. I'm going to use World War II, and I know Irish Republic wasn't involved in that, but I'm saying that when people were fighting against the Nazis, it was a lot of people were thrown in the deep end, and a lot of people learnt as they went.
Yeah.
You know, those guys getting up into Spitfires, they just had to get the hang of it quickly. That's kind of what I did, and the first 10 are the key, and it sounds kind of glib, but having done the 10, I don't think it is that glib. But anyway, if you could get through 10 marathons and the brain clicks into a gear and you go kind of feral and suddenly it's running, it's standard, it's normal, and the body, I don't know, I just came empowered by it. You feel like you own the roads and the streets, and not in a ownership like way, but in like a, you're at one with them.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It just became a kind of beautiful thing. It was tough. It stayed tough, but after 10 marathons, it got easier.
And that's incredible to hear, because I would have thought, like, by that stage, your body is starting to give out. Well, I mean, I'm sure in my case, it probably would have given out a few K in, but the fact that 10 in, that you're kind of getting into your stride. I mean, I presume you probably had times where you just wanted to go, like, why am I doing this? I need to stop.
No, I knew that if I started thinking, oh, I'm not sure if this is a good idea, then it was the end. It was the end. And
yeah.
So that never entered my mind. Once I started, I had to go on, barring calamities, I had to just go on. And I had to do a marathon a day. If I was going to start it, unless I threw it all away and it became a rest day, I had to finish the marathon. I just attempted to go last year to South Africa and do 27 in 27 days as an honor celebration of Nelson Mandela's struggle in 27 years in prison.
Yes.
And I failed that after four because I got a medical condition and they said, you have to stop and get this out of your blood system.
Yeah.
So I'm going back next year because I won't give up on these things.
Oh, you will do it next year. Wow.
Yes, I'm going back in March and I will try like crazy to do it. But now, as Nelson Mandela said, and this is a lesson for us all, don't judge me by the number of times I succeed. Judge me by the number of times I fail and get back up again. So that's the message for us all.
Yeah, I mean, I love this because you are so determined and naturally, I mean, I hope you don't mind me even using the term, but you seem to be a pretty positive guy. Like, you don't allow yourself to think, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this or whatever. Like with a lot of things you take on. I mean, what would your message be to people? Because even just that quote that you have from Mandela is brilliant. But a lot of people, you know, and myself included, I can tend to be quite negative about things at times and think, Asher, I can't do that.
Well, it's a tricky thing. I mean, I do think I might have been given the glasses half full genetic button thing,
okay.
You know, because having just done the whole genetics thing on BBC, and some people might be given, I have talked to people in my life who sometimes they keep hitting on the negative button and I will keep going back on the positive button. I mean, as a transvestite who's doing all this, you've got to be pretty positive, otherwise I wouldn't have ever come out as being a transvestite. This world is getting more complicated, but we're also getting into a better place. There are less people dying. There are less wars. Somebody brought out a book recently, Better Angels of Our Nature, I think it's called, about how violence has decreased over the years. I mean, just as I say, between Ireland and, say, England or Ireland and Britain, it's the hellish years from before. And now the place where, and I realized that maybe the big clip point was when there was boy pop bands coming out of Ireland that English girls were going crazy for. And you think, okay, everything has changed now. Yeah. And with Graham Norton, that everything has changed. And yeah. it's, you know, I'm for that positive future.
Yeah, it's great.
And I like doing the comedy. I want to do the comedy around the world. And I want other people to see it and say, hey, I'm going to go and do the comedy around the world. Or I'll do my rock and roll around the world. Or I'll do acting or whatever it is. And also have that what's it called, the respect thing, the thing that the Arabic people were fighting for, with pushing for democracy, the dignity deficit that existed around the world, and then pushing to have dignity. The first guy who set fire to himself in Tunisia, he had a degree, but he was selling flowers. He didn't feel that he could do anything that was, you know, his life was adding up to nothing. And so this is what he did, and that started the whole democratic revolution. So I'm for pushing for that at all times and all places and in all ways that I can.
Yeah, so you want yourself to be successful, but you want other people as well to achieve what they can as well. It's a brilliant message. Just before I let you go, are we going to see you in any more movies?
Well, I mean, the TV series Hannibal, it's coming up on Sky Atlantic, if you can get that. I'm doing the Mandela Marathons that comes out at the end of May. So that's me running across and interviewing people like de Klerk as well, and going to Robben Island and talking to some of the people who survived all that. And then the Hannibal series, Mads Mikkelsen in that, and Hugh Dancy and Lawrence Fishburne. So that's a great one to be in.
Wow, okay.
Other films are not lining up right at the moment, but there will
that's
be in the
enough.
Future.
I've got That's loads.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, look, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's been it's a real, real pleasure to talk to you. And tomorrow night
It'll
in the
be
O2.
Great to be back in Dublin in the O2. It'll be
fantastic.
Fun.
We're looking forward to seeing you. Thank you so much, Eddie Izzard.
Cheers. No
thank
problem.
You. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.